Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 20. And at this point in Mark's narrative of Jesus' last hours before his crucifixion, he's been arrested, he has appeared before the Sanhedrin, and Peter has disowned him. Very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans. So they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked. "You've said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, "Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they're accusing you of." But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now, it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see him and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him.
At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there.
Some women were there watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So, as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid.
Father, we thank you that we can gather here this morning. And I pray for everyone now just over these next few minutes. And Lord, please use this time now to teach us what you want us to learn in Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Peter McPherson, Senior Minister of St Alfred's, and it's a pleasure to have you here this morning celebrating the cross, the death of Jesus. And I want to ask a question this morning, which is, does the cross matter? Does the cross matter? Now, for about a third of Australians, it does, and about two-thirds of Australians, it doesn't. And I know that because a couple of years ago, a report was done on faith and belief in Australia. And in this report, we learnt that Jesus doesn't really matter to about two-thirds of Australians. That he died on a cross isn't really all that important. It doesn't affect two-thirds of Australians' lives. Now, I'm presuming because you're here this morning that you're not in the two-thirds. but I don't want to presume what each of you thinks. So I want to ask the question, why does the cross matter? What impact does the death of Jesus have? And if you're here this morning and you're not sure what difference Jesus' death makes, and you've been singing some songs this morning and you're not even quite sure what you're singing, I'm hoping what I say in the next few minutes might help you. I'm going to try and explain some of the meaning of Jesus' death by looking at three things that happen in the story which we've heard read this morning from Mark chapter 15. And you'll find those three things in verses 33 to 38. Now, the first thing I want to say is that Jesus' death saves us from God's judgment. You'll see in verse 33, something very strange happens when Jesus is dying. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. So think about it. It's the middle of the day, 12 o'clock through to about 3 p.m. This is not a natural darkness, nor is it an eclipse. It's something quite strange, miraculous. But what does it signify? Now, if you were standing there at the cross when the sky went dark, you would know something was wrong, but you might not know exactly what this meant. And I think for many of us reading the story, we're a bit like that as well. Because you have to go back into the Old Testament for an answer of what darkness during the day represents. And it represents God's judgment. You see, it goes all the way back to a story of when God's people were enslaved in Egypt. And God said to the Egyptians, to the Egyptian king, enough is enough. You've been violent, you've persecuted my people, now you've got to let them go. And the king refused. So time after time, God sent signs to the king. And one of the last signs was he turned the sky dark during the day. And it was a sign from God to the Egyptian king, I am judging you for your violence, your harshness against my people. Darkness in the day tells us that God is not happy. And when this darkness comes at Jesus' death, it's not just judgment on some group like the Egyptians, it's God's judgment on the entire world, on all of us. Now, you're very nice people. You're not murderers and criminals, I don't think, sitting here this morning. But this darkness shows us that in each of us, there's something that offends God. There's something that offends his perfect holiness, his perfect love, his perfect goodness. And we see that every day in our news. We heard it referenced in our prayers. And if we're honest, we see it every day when we look in the mirror. We see it every day when we think about what's going on inside us, what our thoughts are, what's in our heart. None of us is perfect. We're all guilty, and the cross is God's judgment on this. But what you see happening is instead of God judging us, out of great love for us, God's judgment is experienced by Jesus instead. So the cross matters because God is saying, all your darkness, all my darkness is dealt with. Everything that I am guilty of can be forgiven because Jesus dies for us in my place. The second thing I want to say is that Jesus' death gives us hope. In verse 34, we hear this terrible cry from the cross. Jesus spread out, and he cries in a language that you don't understand and I don't understand, but he's talking to God, crying out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which we're told means, my God, why have you forsaken me? That famous first verse of Psalm 22. He's crying out to his father, telling him he feels God forsaken, alone, abandoned, cut off from his heavenly father. Now, just for a moment, you and I are being given a glimpse through this cry of the real pain and the real price of Jesus' death. The price is nothing less than the rupture of this relationship between Father and Son. At the cross, the Son suffers being God-forsaken, cut off by the Father. And the Father suffers the death of the Son, all for us. The Son suffers for us, and the Father experiences the suffering of the Son for us. German theologian Jürgen Moltmann describes it like this: in the death of the Son, death comes upon God himself. And the Father suffers the death of the Son in his love for sinful humanity. Jesus' death saves us from death, saves us from the dark hell of being forsaken by God. Jesus goes through this agony so we never have to. So when you think about the darkness and this cry, you can see already there are two reasons for modern human beings for why the cross matters. Had Jesus not died, we would have to face God's judgment ourselves and then fail that judgment and be cut off, God forsaken forever. We'd have no hope. But Jesus dies for us. He dies in our place. And because he does that, he gives us everything that we could otherwise miss out on. He gives us a better future. He gives us hope, hope for today, hope for eternity. He gives us hope of redemption and even hope of a new life. The third thing I want to say is that Jesus' death allows us to come close to God. The third sign is a curious sign. It's the torn curtain. In verse 38, we're told, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, this is a very strange detail in the story. It happens off stage, so to speak. You know, the focus of the story is what is happening to Jesus, these horrendous things that are happening to Jesus. And then somewhere else, we're told it's in a temple, a curtain is torn in two. Why are we being told that? What's the significance of this little detail? Well, it's because it represents an enormous truth. The torn curtain tells us that because of Jesus' death, human beings can come close to God. In the Jerusalem temple, there was this area called the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, which had been reserved, cut off, special, holy. Nobody could go in there. There was this curtain there, and only the high priest could go in there, and only on one day of the year. And it symbolized to the people that God was not to be approached. He is holy. He is separate. He is other. You cannot come in here. And this curtain, physically, spiritually, symbolically, represents that barrier. No one could come in there except the high priest. It was out of bounds. But when Jesus dies, God tears that curtain down. And it says to human beings, the barrier has been removed. You can come close. You can come to me. Now, a version of this is something that happens here occasionally. I've had people tell me that they couldn't possibly come to church because if I walked into the church, the roof would fall down. Mind you, they're normally telling me that while they're in the church. And the roof hasn't fallen down yet. And I know they're joking. And it doesn't offend me. And it's really saying to you through this torn curtain a similar thing. The roof will not fall down. You are allowed to come close. It doesn't matter when you last came to church or whether you've ever come to church. What God is saying is, you can approach, you can come close. I'm here for you. You can get to know me. I'm not distant. I'm not scary. I'm not cut off from you. The torn curtain says, come close, get to know me. It's okay. Now, that might be new news to you if you've grown up like me, thinking that God's a really scary God and you have to keep away. To realise that the curtain has been torn, that I can come near to God, that was actually quite liberating. So what do we do with all of this? Well, I've suggested the cross matters for at least three reasons. It shows, first of all, that God's judgment on the darkness in our souls would lead to our eternal death. It shows that out of love, though, for us, God has taken this punishment on himself, and we now have hope. And it shows that although God is holy, we can have a relationship with him. We can come close to God. Now, many of you here this morning believe all of this and have been experiencing God's love and forgiveness for many years. And for you, Good Friday is an emotional reminder of what God has done for you. You're deeply thankful that Jesus died for you. You sing the songs today with awe and gratitude in your hearts. You say amen with gusto. But what if you're here this morning and you're not sure what to make of all of this? Our invitation at St. Alfred's this year to Easter has included the word explore. Come and explore who God is. Come and explore Easter. And we're very glad if you're here this morning as a visitor or a guest that you're doing that. And what I'd love to be able to do is, what I would love you to be able to do is emulate the Roman centurion who's in the story. The centurion is a tough bloke. He's a soldier. He's probably been round the block a few times, battle-hardened, streetwise. He's seen a lot of life. He's not easily impressed. But when he looks at Jesus' death, verse 39, when he looks at the man Jesus dying, notice what he says. He says, surely this man was the Son of God. Now, that's what I'm praying for you. Some of us met before the service to pray for all of you. We're praying that when you look at the story of the cross and Jesus dying there, that you'll see this is no ordinary man. This is the Son of God dying for you. That God will open your eyes and you will be able to put your faith in Jesus. Now, if you would like to know more, then please join us on Easter Sunday as we reflect on why the resurrection matters. I also invite you to join us on Sundays after Easter if you live in this area of Melbourne, and come and hear our reflections on the Sermon on the Mount, one of Jesus' most famous bits of teaching. And interestingly, for many of the two-thirds of Australians for whom Jesus doesn't matter personally, one thing they will say is he's a good teacher. So we decided after Easter, we'd look at some of Jesus' teaching. Also, I'd like to invite you, if you want to know more about this, that I've put some booklets out in the foyer. They're called Why Easter? And they will explain a little bit more about Jesus and what it means to believe in him. You're very welcome to take one for yourself or for somebody else who might be thinking about what they believe. The cross really matters, and I pray you will come to know this and put your faith in Jesus. In the last song that we're going to sing today, you'll sing these words. This, the power of the cross, Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. Amen.